Welcome to the iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times, where we engage with key opinion leaders about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, drug therapy, research, technology, or practice management.
I'm David Hutton, editor of Ophthalmology Times. This year's American Academy of Ophthalmology annual meeting is virtual. Joining me today is Dr. Ann Coleman, 2020 president of the AAO. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me to chat with you virtually today.
How can ophthalmologists still get the most out of this event?
Well, the first thing is participating and signing up and getting the virtual pass for $425, because with that, they'll have access. And the nice thing about it is you'll have access to the meeting for a year. And so that's great because you're getting 70 CME credits. Got a year to get them. If you do some of the visualization and participation in the Academy meeting in 2021, that's when you claim your credits. So in that way, it's kind of exciting for ophthalmologists to get involved because we're going to have a lot of new information. I think that people during the pandemic have had a chance to really think about their research and kind of getting it written up. And we had really a very competitive process for the posters, for the talks. And so In many ways, I think it's going to be even better than in the years past because people really have had some extra time that they've been able to devote to academic things such as writing talks and doing research and preparing posters. Could be very exciting, I think. It's just that you have to show up and do it.
Right. And what can we expect from this year's event?
Academy staff is very creative, and so I'm very excited about it. For many of us, we're not so wild about Zoom and virtual meetings, but I think they're really trying to put in a lot of innovation. For example, we're going to have an iPlay section, you know, so just like they had on the exhibit floor where you could go and do some wellness or exercise or pet bunnies or, you know, many different things available. They're going to have iPlay, so we're going to be like introducing some new concepts such as instant recess, which I'm excited about because I'm kind of introducing it. And then also we're going to have a talent show. I mean, so I don't know how often I've been able to see a talent show with ophthalmologists. And I think one of the nice things is it's going to be live. And so you can watch it, but then you'll also be able to go and rewatch it. So I think we're going to really actually learn more about each other. We're actually going to possibly even learn more knowledge because we're not cramming everything into 72 hours. What we're doing is we're going to be able to learn and absorb all this information over a year. And I think also they're working hard to make it so that it's just not information that you could get from reading a paper, but there's also opportunity to get more in-depth kind of personal information and interaction. So promises to be exciting. People who have always wondered what the Orbital Gala is, you know, this is our big fundraiser. And I would say the majority of the membership has never attended. Now they can attend for free for an hour. So they can go and see what the big deal is or not. You know, they can go and participate in the silent auction and help to really support the Museum of the Eye, which should be opening in 2021 when other museums and the Museum of the Eye are allowed to open. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of an exciting time. But as I said, you have to kind of participate. That's true with everything.
And what can we look forward to this year with subspecialty day, be it retina or any of the other subspecialties that are highlighted?
Well, they're going to be there and they're actually going to be available to everybody. So, you know, as a glaucoma specialist, I'm looking forward to looking at some of that retina CME lectures, maybe asynchronously, not on Friday, because I might be in glaucoma subday, but I'll be able to go back and look at the retina subday sometime in the future. And I'm excited about that because I think we're giving our membership exposure to all of the subspecialty day knowledge. And so that's an exciting opportunity because a retina specialist can learn about glaucoma and I can go and freshen up and learn about retina. And I think that's going to kind of broaden our appeal. I think a lot of times as subspecialists, you know, I spend a lot of time in glaucoma and yet I have a lot of friends in retina and actually it's very important for me to keep up with retina. Right. And so it's really going to give that opportunity for us to really broaden our knowledge base again. Very similar to how it was broadened when we were residents early in training. You know, we get to go back and take our time and approach it on our own time schedule. So it's quite exciting for me because I don't have to make choices between A and B. I can do both A and B, just not both at the same time. Whereas at a usual academy meeting, I'm choosing either A or B. I can't do both.
And as we look forward to 2021, what's your outlook for the new year?
That's a great question. That's something I ask a lot of public health people. And I think that it's guarded, but optimistic. I think that, you know, it probably depends on the region of the country, also what's happening in your locale. But I feel that people are learning a lot about the coronavirus. Unfortunately, I think it is going to be something that's with us for a while. And so life is starting to proceed because we can't give up living life just because we're in a pandemic. We have to adjust. And that means, you know, I think hygiene is better, thank heavens. And I think people are wearing masks and more conscious of if they're ill, of getting tested. And so I think there it's positive. And I think the vaccine, I'm hoping one of them comes out that's effective, because I think that'll also be a game changer in terms of making people at least feel more comfortable with moving around. As one of my patients said, in a place like LA, especially during flu season, maybe we'll always have masks. I think that it's kind of an interesting concept that as time's gone on, like in a place like Los Angeles, where people are wearing masks all the time, humans are very adaptable. And so we've started adjusting. And I think that's why I'm guarded, but hopeful. I think that people are aware that we have been in the midst of a pandemic, but they also are aware of that there are things that they can do personally to mitigate their risk and the risk of their loved ones.
And lastly, in ophthalmology, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? Probably the pandemic in a way. You know, we've lost colleagues. And I think that that's been one of the hardest things is that for a lot of people, they haven't been touched. But there have been ophthalmologists that I know that have died from the coronavirus. And I think that's what keeps me up because it seems so unpredictable in some ways, predictable in that we have risk factors and everything. But that's hard when you lose colleagues and also and family members. But it's really hard with the colleagues because I've been fortunate with my family members, unlike many others, but keeps me up. But yeah. Good question.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time today. Take care. Stay safe.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The iPod. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.